Brethren, how many times have you heard or thought about a cautionary bit of wisdom that I'm sure we've all heard some version of, but it goes something like this. Every action has a consequence, or think before you act. Now, I'll pick on something that's a little bit common these days, and some of us have actually experienced this, but not to pick on any individual, but just to bring a point home here. A very obvious practice that is in vogue today is having tattoos applied. At the moment, I'm sure it seems like just the most exciting thing to do. You know, it's a favorite boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe after a few months or a year or two, and you marry someone else, that might not be so smart. But the point is, tattoos don't very easily go away without some pretty drastic action, you know, laser light surgery or whatever is involved. Having regrets about things like this could have been avoided if before choosing to do something with real personal consequences, personal impact, and maybe lasting effects, we stopped to consider what our options might be. You know, Christians have an opportunity to make good decisions every time. That's our opportunity. It's not that we necessarily do that. And if you read the book of Psalms, and if you especially read some of what David wrote, you'll see that he made some bad decisions. But he followed that up with the decisions that bore good fruit when he repented. Well, I'll come to some very specific examples on this a little bit later, but first I'd like to go through a few of the proverbs that we find in the book of Proverbs, and actually I got interested enough just to read through Proverbs again as a kind of preparation for this sermonette, but it's one of those books that you can dig out individual truths and standards and principles, but it's also a book that sometimes it's just good to read through because you get flooded with a kind of an overdose of really great instructions. But let's begin in Proverbs 1 and verse 7. And the reason I'm going through these Proverbs is simply to make the point that we need to think before we act, and how we approach that bit of advice has to do very much with our relationship with God. And here we find a foundational principle. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We have, as Christians, access to coming to a knowledge of the Lord, of God, and knowing the right balance of how we should fear Him, because we fear the consequences of sin and the penalty that is brought about because of sin. But it is the beginning of knowledge, and I would say it's the thing that you first consider when you're about to make a decision. Big, little, whatever. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." So if you're going to decide something, if you're going to make a choice in life, and you know, there's really no limiting factor here. Everything you bring before God, and the consequences are going to be more pleasant. I think any of us could say, looking back on our own lives, that if had we known even back then what we know now, the course of our actions would have been different. Then in Proverbs 14, verse 12, here's the truth that humanity continues to proved time and time again, there is a way. This is Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man or to the person coming up with these ideas, but its end is the way of death. You know, it seems to me that in the quandary that we find ourselves in the Church of God, the broader concept of what the Church of God is, of people who have been called and maybe are asleep, and I would say many of us have been asleep, but it's long past time to be awake. We cannot be approaching God in ways that seem right to us, but rather proven by the Word of God and then acted upon, not compromising when we run up against something that flies in the face of our own personal opinions. Proverbs 14, verses 15 through 16. Proverbs 14, I'll begin to read in verse 15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. And I would go back, and I'm just picking on this thing of tattoos as just a way to demonstrate my broader point. You know, at the time, as I said, it might seem, well, there's a shop, and it's funny, in Fort Collins, it seems like they're all over the place, tattoo shops, and a lot of people have them. But as an example, one lady had, at the bank, had her sleeves, long sleeve shirt on in the summer. It's hot in there, and I was curious, and she said, well, I have to wear long sleeves because I've got tattoos, and the bank won't allow me to serve the customers with the tattoos showing. So you see, there are, and again, tattoos are nothing in and of themselves. If they're done, they're done, and we move on, and some of us have had to do that. But the point being here is there are consequences that we don't always see. And if we use that as kind of a springboard to consider other things we do in life that have much graver consequences, then I think we will be well advised. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident, not asking for God's guidance. Proverbs 16, verse 9. One of the very favorite signposts in all of the Bible for me. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And that, of course, means that we have a relationship with God. Proverbs, finally, Proverbs 23, verses 17 through 18. This gives a broader view of the point I'm making today. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all of the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. In other words, there will be a day of reckoning, a time of reward or punishment, all depending upon our course of action and the relationship, the fear of the Lord that we actually have. Now, a specific example. Jesus faced a monumental decision as he established leadership in his church. And he sought help in a remarkable way before he made that decision. Let's look at his example in Luke 6, verses 12 to 13. Luke 6 and verse 12, and this is when some time after Jesus Christ had begun his ministry, and it came time after he had people following, and after he had specifically called some of these individuals. In verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Very knowingly, even understanding one who would betray him. And yet he made those choices under God's guidance. This is a pattern for us, brethren. And I think, especially as we proceed headlong into the end of the age here and things get more and more strident, more and more dangerous, that we need to have a pattern well established in our own lives, is that we always take everything to God first. I tend to have the problem of coming to Him sometimes as an afterthought, and every time I do, it is self-correcting, to say the least. But it's something we all have to struggle with and work with, and that's what prayer is all about, meditation, Bible study, so we can reflect and know the will of God. But even knowing the will of God, as Jesus Christ did, He still sought God's direct intervention, His help, to fulfill the work that He had to do. It's a pattern for us. It's how we should conduct our lives, simply put, is seek God first. And we do have help. Let's look at Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, and I'd like to have this as my final reference from the Word of God. It encapsulates what I'm trying to say today. The title for my sermonette was Before You Choose. And everything kind of descends from that in terms of the scriptures I was referring to, the scriptures I referred to. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 4 and beginning in verse 14. Seeing then, this is addressed to us, to Christians, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that is early, and of course at any time in our Christian living, but especially, I'm going to move the marker to the front side of our life and the way we live. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have that opportunity. Unlike anybody else alive on this earth, we have the opportunity, if we've been given God's Holy Spirit, to not take that gift for granted, brethren, and to cast all of our cares on God and to put everything before Him, seeking His advice, and He will give it in remarkable ways. It's His promise, and we know that God cannot lie.